Okay. I have a question for you. Have you ever been to or experienced or got excited or ecstatic and did something absolutely crazy in the midst of a sporting event, a movie that was out that was just coming out, a band that you went to go see, that something crazy, I mean, just absolutely crazy happened? Anybody ever experienced anything like that? A couple years ago, this is probably one of my favorite stories, so you may have heard me tell this story before. I can never remember who all I've told it to, but hopefully some of you haven't heard of this. Most of you guys, or some of you guys may know, I am a huge Colts fan. Indianapolis Colts, all the way. Like, listen, I'm like a real Colts fan, though. Like, so even if they're losing or not doing great or whatever it may be, I'm still a fan, okay? Like, just love the Colts. And a couple years ago, I loved them so much. We would go to a game usually, at least once a year. And this story is extremely appropriate because this Sunday, the Indianapolis Colts just happened to be in Houston playing the Houston. Oh, who cares what their names are? They're losing. Indianapolis, every year, my wife and I would go to at least one game. Sometimes it would be given to the tickets would be given to us. Sometimes we bought the tickets. Sometimes it was a terrible game. Sometimes it was a great game. But this particular game was an amazing game, in my opinion. And to be fair, it had absolutely nothing to do with the game. You see, this was one of the first games that my wife and I got to go to together. And we bought the tickets, and we went to the stadium. And how many of you guys have ever been in, like, the nosebleed sections of a stadium? Right. So, like, it's like the nosebleed sections is, like, where you walk all the way to the top, and then you just keep going. And then somewhere up there, they've kind of put a folded out, like, cruddy lawn chair, and you sit uncomfortably really far away from the field to where you really can't actually see any action. And so we bought these really cheap tickets, and they're in the nosebleed section, so much so that we got all the way up to the very top of the stadium. Our backs were against the wall, and in front of us was a wall. I'm not even kidding. But just below this wall, inches tall, was this little opening that we could kind of see the field. But here's the cool thing. Right in front of us, attached to that wall, were TVs. And so we got to pay to go to a game, to sit all the way up at the top and watch the whole game on TV. Yeah, it wasn't very fun. But the cool part was, about midway through the game, there was about six rows in front of us, there was this lady. And I'm watching the game. We're trying to look down and see what's going on. I couldn't even tell you if they were winning or losing. But, you know, there were little dots moving around. It was kind of cool, you know, to experience. But somewhere about the middle of the game, this lady, I just watched the back of her head. And something doesn't look right. I'm like, what is she doing? And I just see this. This is what I see. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't look good. That doesn't look good. And I'm like, what in the world? And then suddenly, I'm like, I'm catching Lauren's attention. Like, hey, something about to blow, okay? You're gonna have to watch this. And so we're watching this girl. And she just stands up, and she puts her hands over her mouth. And then, have you ever seen the movie The Exorcist? Yeah. Where there's a particular scene in this movie. It's a really old movie where pea soup starts shooting out of this lady's head, right? And it just keeps coming like a fire hose, you know? So that's pretty much what happened. This lady stands up and she grabs her mouth, and then suddenly, all over, probably a 3-foot radius of everybody around him, who all went. And we're safe. We're safe. We're like 5 rows up. So we're like, oh, that girl just puked all over these people, right? And so she is just puking, and it is just coming out, and it's all over the stairs, all over the handrails, and one of her friends, like, grabs her by the back of the hair and starts dragging it down all the stairs, right? And so she's going down the stairs, and she's just puking all over the place, right? All over the people, all over the stairs. So we're watching this happen, right? It takes place in, like, I think probably like a 20-second time frame, but it felt like a half hour because we're just like, oh, this is so good. This is way better than the game, right? This is awesome. But that wasn't the cool part. The cool part was that the fun didn't end at that point, right? Because the rest of the game, we got the lovely experience of watching every single person walk up those stairs and grab those handrails and go, oh, oh, and we knew what it was. They had in their mind, they hoped it was like Coke or water or something. We knew it was puke, and we knew those people just put their hands in puke. So the rest of the game, we got to enjoy that. But I love, love, love the Indianapolis Colts. I love watching it. When, in fact, my first house that we bought, we had the privilege of having an extra bedroom. And so my wife said I could make that into an office. And I was like, well, what should I do to decorate this office, right? So I think I'm going to make it look like the Colts threw up all up in here, okay, right? So I painted all the walls bright blue. I had Colts emblems and Colts everything everywhere, okay? So, like, you walked in, you're like, ooh, this guy's, what? I had Colts emblems. Colts emblems. I know, Colts emblems, right? It was so cool. So cool. But then I started to realize, the outcomes of these football games were taking such a toll on my life that I would walk away Sunday afternoon and the rest of my week would be figured out as to whether the Colts won or lost. If they lost, I was going to be depressed. I was going to be mad. I was going to be so angry. If they won, I was on top of the world. It was a good week. I mean, nothing could get me down until the next week if they lost. And I started to realize something, that in my heart, as much as I love football, the Indianapolis Colts had slowly risen to be an idol of mine. Now, what we're talking about tonight, we're starting a new series, and we've called it Idol Wars. Now, how many of you guys have ever heard of the Ten Commandments? Okay, who can rattle off a couple of the commandments? Just give me one of them, a couple of them, yeah. Yeah, just one, just as you know them. Do not steal. Don't kill anybody. Don't lie. Honor your parents. Don't commit adultery, right? I know. She's like, oh, man, the adultery one was mine. How about this one? Don't covet what your neighbor has, right? Like, don't want for all everything that they have, right? Love your neighbor. Okay, so, right, so when we think of the Ten Commandments, these are the ones that we think of, right? Because we're like, okay, if we're a Christian, for the most part, we're not doing these things. Like, if I said, are you a Christian? Do you follow the Ten Commandments? You're like, yeah, absolutely. I don't murder. I don't steal. I don't covet my neighbor's property. You know, I honor my parents and stuff like that. And then if I were to say, well, okay, but the first two commandments, do you follow those? Oh, yeah, of course. Of course I follow the first two commandments. What are the first two commandments, you say? Well, go ahead and show them. It's in Exodus chapter 20. Go ahead and show this really quick. Shh. You must not have any other God but me. You must not make for yourself an idol for any kind of image or anything in the heavens and the earth or of the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord, am your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. So the reason why we didn't really say these is, for the most part, all of us are like, yeah, this is kind of an old school commandment, right? If you're anything like me, when you hear this, you might think, okay, don't have any other gods. Well, I don't believe in Buddha. Like, come on, I'm not an idiot. Like, I don't believe in aliens. Like, seriously, like, that's so weird, you know? Okay, we'll get into that later. I don't worship aliens as a god, okay? No. We'll talk about that later. Shh. And when we think of don't have any idols, we often think of, okay, these little wooden statues that people used to like worship and stuff like that. But the thing is that if I were to ask you which one of the commandments that we all struggle with the absolute most, a lot of us might say, you know, like jealousy or hatred or honoring your parents, right? A lot of us might lying, right? Adultery. Kelsey, you're full of it tonight. A lot of us might name these ones. But I would say that these are the two commandments that we struggle with the absolute most. And here's the problem, is that we don't see that. We have this preconceived notion of what it means to worship a God other than God, or worship an idol other than God. And we think that that's kind of this Old Testament thing, unless the person's into weird stuff and we're not into weird stuff. But I think every single person here struggles with this more than they struggle with anything else. So let me ask you, what is the definition of worship? Like, how would you define worship, Nathan? Are you going to bow down to me? Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah, ISIS. Shh. Listen, listen. Shh. Continually giving yourself to God. Okay, give me some actions. What are some actions of worship? What? What Caitlin just did? Singing. Okay, yeah. Shh. Raising your hands. Hands over your heart. Yeah, okay. What else, Nathan? Okay, bowing. What else? What are some other acts of worship? Shh. Kneeling at the altar. Yeah. Praying. I like that. What else? Reading your Bible. Yeah. Singing. How about this? How about spending time with? How about spending your money on, like, tithes? The Bible says that we should tithe, and that's our act of worship, right? Huh? Stewardship, exactly. So all of these things, singing, worshiping, you know, giving your time up, giving your money, these are all acts of worship. Now, let me set a scene for you, because maybe this will seem kind of a little more believable that we struggle with this. Kyle Idleman wrote a book called God's at War. I highly recommend it. It's really, really good. But he sets this scene like this. He says, imagine at 4:30 in the morning on a Sunday morning, your alarm goes off and your head pops up off the pillow. And you are ecstatic. Why are you ecstatic? Because you didn't hardly sleep last night. Because you were so excited that that alarm is going to go off. You were actually afraid that you would miss that alarm. So you pop up out of bed. You put on your Sunday best, okay? I mean, you look fly as fly can be. You look the part. You are so ready. You go and you wake up everybody in the household. It's time. It's Sunday. Get up. Wake up. We got to go. Hurry. We're going to miss it. You wake everybody up. They all get up. They all get dressed in the same clothing you're wearing. Okay, you all look the exact same, right? You hop in your car. You drive all the way to the church. You get there. There's a line outside the door, okay? Service does not start for another 3.5 hours, but there is a line all the way down the parking lot. And you're mad at your sister because your sister couldn't dry her hair just a little bit faster, so we could have got here before everybody else did. But guess what? There were people camped outside, literally camping outside the doors for those doors to open that next morning, right? No, listen. Shh. So you get in line, okay? You were lucky enough to make sure you got a bulletin to make sure that you could enter the game before they ran out of bulletins or enter the church before they ran out of bulletins. You know, so you were pretty excited about that. Okay, so 3 hours later, you finally, after making some hot dogs in the parking lot and eating those for breakfast and, you know, drinking your different types of Coke and playing some cornhole and stuff in the parking lot, finally the doors open and there is a mad rush. And I'm talking a mad rush. You are running. You are sprinting into the sanctuary all the way up to the front row because you are going to get the absolute best seat in the house this time. You are not going to be stuck in the back, okay? You are going to be in the front. And you get all the way to the front and you are so pumped. I mean, you are right here. You are right in front of the preacher. In fact, when the preacher gets up there and he sings, if he spits just a little bit, you're going to get hit. And it is going to be the best day of your entire life because you got spit on by the preacher. Oh my goodness. The band comes up and you go nuts. You stand up. You start screaming your head off every single lyric of every single song. This is the best ever. Oh my goodness. You got your phone out. You're Snapchatting the whole thing. You're tweeting it out. You're Instagramming everything. Boom, at church. It's Sunday. You know it. You are so pumped. And then the pastor comes up and you are just ecstatic. This is going to be the best Sunday morning service you've ever been to your entire life. His message is going to be on fleek. It's going to be perfect. He's going to be up there dabbing it out and you're going to be like, yes, this is awesome, okay? And then service ends. And you just had the best time of your life, but you are so mad that you have to wait until next Sunday to do it all again, or Wednesday. That seems crazy, okay? That seems crazy. Like, we do not see that in the church, right? Like, you do not drive here, and there's not a line out, and you are not camping out. You are not so ready. It seems insane that you would do that. Hold on. But, listen, second row, it does not seem insane for somebody to do that for the Super Bowl. It does not seem insane for somebody to do that for the concert of your lifetime. It does not seem insane to do that if you knew your favorite celebrity was going to be at this place this time. It doesn't seem insane to do that. Why? Why does it not seem insane that that happens. It's because every single one of us has allowed ourselves to break these two commandments, because these little gods have snuck into our hearts and we had no idea. We had no idea what was happening. We just talked about, what is worship? It's spending time with. It's singing praises to. It's giving your money to. Tell me that we don't do this all the time. How many of you guys have ever been to a midnight premiere of a movie? Yeah. Okay. I spent a lot of sleepless time going to see Captain America. Okay. I spent my money to do that. In fact, I even dressed up like Captain America in the first Avengers. It's on my Instagram. Check it out. Shh. I spent time, I spent money, and I spent effort, literal effort, to go see this. And it affected my emotions. Tell me that at that point in time, I didn't make that a little bit of an idol in my life. Now, I'm not here to say that the things like entertainment are bad. In fact, God gave us entertainment. So God gave us music. God gave us these movies, certain movies, not all movies. God gave us certain movies that we could go and be entertained. God gave us sports so that we could go and cheer on the Indianapolis Colts and have an awesome time. Watch people get puked on. The issue is not necessarily in the entertainment. The issue is when that entertainment has been elevated above your relationship with God. How many times, and I don't want you to answer this, but how many times have you gone to a sporting event or gone to a concert and then you just could not, because you stayed out way too late, could not get yourself out of bed on Sunday morning to go to church? Don't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm not getting into excuses. It's still. Hot Hearts has what? Bands at it. I mean, I'm just saying that you can even make Christian bands a god over anything. And so what I'm trying to say here is that the God that we're going to talk about tonight, and I'm almost done, is the God of entertainment. The God of these movies, of these celebrities, of these concerts, of these people that we literally will mold our lives after, because we think so-and-so is so cool and they look awesome and how they act is exactly who we want to be. And so we will mold our lives completely after them. Which is exactly what Jesus wants us to do with him. But here's the problem with that in Exodus. What did it just say? You cannot have any other gods, other idols above me, because why? God is a jealous God. Which means God does not want that to happen. God does not want to compete, okay? He does not want to compete. He wants to be the object of your worship and nothing else. Solomon, the wisest man in the entire world, prayed for wisdom. God gave it to him tenfold. And because of that, he became one of the richest men in the entire world. One of the most powerful men in the entire world. He was so wise. He wrote 3 books in the Old Testament, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes. And each one of them have such amazing wisdom in it. You should read them. But what we're going to read is that Solomon was struggling with the same situation that we are. And we may not even know it, but Solomon knew it. You see, Solomon had all of the wealth and all the ability to have all of the entertainment he could possibly want, all of that pleasure that he could possibly want, and he sought after it. He openly sought after it. So we're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and I want you to go ahead and show this. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, we're going to start in verse number 1. It says this. Go ahead and show it on the screen, Connor. It says this. I said to myself, so this is Solomon, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. And so I said, laughter is silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? Go to the next one. After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at the foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself. And by planting beautiful vineyards, I made gardens and parks and filled them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect water, to irrigate as many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women. Others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any other king who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver, gold, treasures of many kinds, kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything that I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all of my labors. But as I looked at everything I worked so hard to accomplish, it was all just so meaningless. Like chasing the wind, there was nothing worthwhile anywhere. Solomon had the ability to chase after whatever the heck he wanted to. And he did. He tried wine. He tried riches. He tried women. He tried entertainment between singers. You got to think at this time, they didn't have movies. They didn't have necessarily sporting events that you'd go to. They didn't have these things that we would love to go for. And so these were his way of getting entertainment. And all of these things he elevated above God at points in his life. He sought after homes and homes and many homes and all of these things that we would absolutely die to have. How many of you would not love to have a home here, home in, you know, Florida, home in Alaska, Hawaii, whatever you want, like all of these homes that you could possibly want, right? A private jet, right? All of these things that were like, yeah, I'd love to have that. Well, he had it. And in the end, what did he call it all? Meaningless. He said, in the end, it all meant absolutely nothing. I love the Indianapolis Colts. If I'm being transparent here, I love them so much that at points in my life, I have elevated their status above God's status, which seems silly. And even just to say it seems silly. But when my time is devoted to them, when my heart is devoted to them, when I long for them to win, and when they don't win, I'm just discouraged and despaired. But yet I go to church and I see these people who are wandering, lost and afraid, who talk throughout the entire service, and my heart doesn't even break or flinch at it. So at this point, I'm now more concerned about the Colts winning than I am about somebody who's lost and dying and going to hell. You see, I would venture to say that everyone in here struggles with gods, false idols. But in the end, we have to discover that these things are absolutely meaningless, absolutely meaningless. And the only way that we can battle this god of entertainment, is we can no longer just try to remove the God, but we have to replace the God with God. And so when our heart says, oh, I long for this, I long to go and stay out to the wee hours of the morning, see these movies, which are not a bad thing, but when it's going to cause me not to want to go to church the next day, then I need to say, no, I'm not going to go. I'll wait a week and go see it, because tomorrow I'm waking up, I'm going to church. When God becomes a priority in your life, these other gods will dissipate. They will. So the very first thing you have to do is you have to recognize the false gods in your life. What are you elevating above God? Over these next couple weeks, we're going to talk about different ones of them. Pride, pleasure, all of these things. But what are you elevating above God? And number two, is God the priority in your life? Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for this day. I thank you so much for your word, God. I pray that you be with these students. God, as we discuss these gods, these false idols that have taken over our lives, God, help us to realize that this is truly something that we struggle with. God, in that I would venture to say that every single thing that we struggle with in our life could fall back on the fact that we worship something over you. God, when we hate our neighbors, God, it's because we worship maybe something that they have over you, or we worship that feeling of hate or that gossip that we want to spread over what you say. God, when we choose to love a celebrity and we want to mold our lives after them, God, I pray that you just make that so apparent in our life, God, that we no longer want to do that, but we only want to mold our life after you. God, as we spend our time and our energy and our effort and our money on things that are absolutely, as Solomon says, are meaningless, God, help us to double that amount of time, amount of money, amount of effort, and put it towards your kingdom. God, as we spend time night after night binge watching Netflix shows or listening to music or whatever it is, God, as we give every minute of every day towards something that is meaningless. God, I pray that we even are reminded to give just an ounce of time towards you. Because you deserve it all, God. You deserve every bit of it. God, be with us the rest of this week. Help us to have an awesome rest of this week and bring us back safely on Sunday. We love you and we praise you. In your name, amen.